Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning how to go beyond the basics in our faith.
You cannot live the Christian life in your own power. It's not a self-improvement program. You need the supernatural, divine touch of God to give you power to do things that you can't do in your own strength.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, we're just at the start of a new series from Mark called First Things First, Theology for Everyday Life, where we're gaining some powerful insight from the book of Colossians on how to prioritize the things that really matter. To begin this process of sorting through our priorities and restructuring our lives, Mark says we must begin by growing beyond the basics. That's the title of today's message. And to better understand what that means, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, as we join Mark for today's lesson.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "Some will come to me on that day and say, 'Lord, Lord.'" And Jesus said, "I'll look at them and I'll say, 'I don't know you.'" And then he says, "You will know them by their..." Come on, say it out loud. "You'll know them by their fruit." Jesus said, "You distinguish the true from the false by their fruit." Now stay with me. Someone says to me, "Hey, is that person right there sitting on the seventh row over there, are they a believer, a follower of Jesus?" I'll look at them and say, "Well, I don't know." Now, if I look at someone and they have no fruit, and you say, "Well, I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old, prayed a prayer, walked an aisle, got baptized, but there's no fruit in your life. There's no fruit of change, fruit of transformation, no fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is the fruit of the Spirit. If there's no fruit in your life, then you should be worried. Because if your life has no fruit, then I'm not sure if you're in or if you're out. Now you show me a person and say, "What about that person over there? And their life has love and joy and peace and gentleness, and they've changed the way they talked and they changed the way they walk, and they're living different, and their relationships are different, and they're praying different, and their lifestyle has changed." I look at their life and I say, "I see fruit. I think they're really part of the kingdom of God because I see fruit on their life that evidences that they're a follower of Jesus Christ. By their fruit, we will know them." If you have no fruit in your life, there's question marks that come up about the authenticity of your relationship with God. Now, I'm not here to judge anybody because I don't see your heart. But if I were a person that had no fruit, I would be worried and asking God, "Am I really part of the vine?" Because when you're really part of the vine, you're going to demonstrate fruit. Now, here's the thing. If you're really part of the vine and there's very little fruit, God's going to prune you. How many of you know pruning is painful? Painful. He's got to cut things out. Dead weight. I had some rose bushes in front of my house before, and every year I would prune them. And that means that the dead stuff, I would cut off the ends. Why? So that they would grow better the next time around. And sometimes God does that. He cuts off the dead weight that's keeping us from growing, if you're a child or a believer of God. And so he says, "You will know them by their fruit." And he says that you grow in the knowledge of God in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, living a life worthy of God. Here's the other thing I want to make mention of. Oftentimes I run into people that think that God is a killjoy. And I say, "Are you going to follow God?" "Well, I'm not ready to follow God. I'm waiting till I get older." Why? "Hey, I'm only 25, man. I got a lot of living to do." By living, they mean partying. "I got a lot of partying to do. And if I give my life to God, he's going to take all the fun things out of life." Okay, well, tell me what that looks like. "Well, I'm only 25 years old. If I give my life to God, I won't be able to have sex on the weekends like I'm used to doing. I won't be able to get high and drunk. I will have to start studying. I can't cheat on my college test, man. I don't want to go there because it'll limit my joy. Here's the thing. I believe that when we please God and live for God, for not for ourselves, but when we live for God, the byproduct is that we become the most satisfied people on the face of this earth. I like the way John Piper puts it. The more God is glorified through us, the more we are satisfied in Him. Some people think that living for God is going to take all the joy out, but what they don't realize is that when you really begin to pursue God and live for God, the byproduct is your own satisfaction and fullness. And the people that say, well, I'm going to be a hedonist is someone that is the unabashed pursuit of pleasure. Right now, if I were to ask you what's the goal in your life, if your goal in life is to be happy for your own personal happiness, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to end up in a wrong place. Hedonism is just, I want to live for pleasure and happiness. Whatever makes me happy, it feels good, do it. That's a bad philosophy to live by. Some people, bashing someone in the face feels good. Some people cheating, having an affair with a married woman, that feels good. Some people getting high on the weekends and snorting a line of cocaine, that feels good. Other people gossiping about your coworker and see them shrivel up under criticism, that feels good. But let me tell you, ultimately, when you just pursue your own happiness without pursuing something that's bigger than you. People that pursue their own happiness, listen, when their ultimate goal in life is to be their own happiness, they'll step on people, use people, trash people, they'll walk over people, they don't care about anybody but themselves. Ultimately, they become the most miserable people on the face of this earth. But the people that say, God, I'm going to pursue you and your will for my life, even though in the beginning it may seem like it's hard. Some of you come to Christ, and you know what? You came to Christ, and the weekends are the toughest because before in the weekends, you knew what to do. Now as a Christian, you're sitting there wiggling your fingers around saying, I don't know what to do with my weekend. Before I knew where to go, what to do, I knew what to do, and now I'm like, oh, weekend, okay, what do I do with my weekend? It's Friday night, and those urges start bubbling up inside of you. You see all your friends going to the same place, and you have to break out of the system that you used to be in because you have this mentality. You got to break out of that system. And God's got to teach you a new way, a different way, to find your fullness and happiness. And the Bible says, the Bible declares to us that as we grow in the knowledge of His will, then we'll become fruitful in every good work. Third thing I want to give to you here. We're talking about how to continue to grow. The third thing is this. You will need to be empowered to reach a level of endurance and patience joyfully. Look what it says in verse 11. Being strengthened with all power, I love this, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. The third thing you need in your life is you need supernatural power to be able to endure and have patience. See, one of the hardest things in life is to be able to do the right thing and keep doing it even when it's hard to do. Let me tell you something. You cannot live the Christian life in your own power. It's not a self-improvement program. You need the supernatural, divine touch of God to give you power to do things that you can't do in your own strength. Some of you come to me and you say, well, Pastor, you know, I've been trying to kick this habit for years. I just can't do it. Let me tell you, you can't. You need God's supernatural power to do what you can't do. And you tell me, Pastor, you know, I've been trying to forgive my brother for years, but we've had such a bad relationship. He's done so many things to me. I try to forgive him. I say, oh, I want to forgive him, and I can't. You know what? You can't. You need something that comes from God's supernatural divine power. Something that is not of you. Something that is bigger than you. Something that is formed in the throne room of God. It's called the dunamis of God. The supernatural power of God to do in your life what you cannot do in your own natural power. It's the power of God in your life.
Well, this is a good place to pause our message on Bold Steps and think on what it would really look like to experience the power of God today. Mark Jobe is here in the studio with me as we take this break for the message. Mark, some of our generous listeners are already helping others discover the life-changing power of God, people across the nation, even around the world. And these ministry partners, very active, are known as our Bold Partners, and it's their faithful monthly giving that makes a global impact.
That's right, our Bold Partners. And I just want to pause and say thank you for those of you that say, you know, Pastor Mark, we really appreciate this ministry and the people that we're reaching through this ministry. And so you have decided to make us a part of your monthly giving. And this is really important. Maybe you've been thinking about this for a while, but just haven't gotten around to do so. This is a great time to help out. We're at the end of our fiscal year. Our fiscal year ends in June.
Very important time.
And so we really could use your help right now to finish our fiscal year strong. And so I realize that some of you can't, but there are some of you that can. And if you're able to join us and become a Bold Partner, this is the ideal time to do so.
And I'll tell you how to do that in just a moment. But you know, our program is heard in many places around the world, Mark. But one place that particularly excites us is Malawi, Africa. A lot of new listeners there. Here's a note from one who says, "Hi, I'm very optimistic as to what you're doing with Lives and the Bold Steps program. Let me tell you that this program has impacted many lives here at Senga Bay, where many of us, the Yao people, have changed." Now, the Yao people are traditionally Muslims. "Therefore, we urge you to prepare us such programs that will give life to those who are dead spiritually. I thank God for changing me and my colleagues here." Signed, your listener, Amini. Isn't that great?
I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm so encouraged, by the way, from some of the responses that we're getting, really from all over, but some of the African responses, those that are very unfamiliar with the gospel, that are telling us that they're hearing the gospel for the first time, is so thrilling to hear.
And our Bold Partners are making that possible. So again, thank you. Now, if you are not a Bold Partner but would like to consider prayerfully becoming a partner with us in this ministry, just go to boldstepsradio.org. That's boldstepsradio.org. You can give a gift of any amount monthly, but when you do give $30 or more, you'll also receive a 50% discount off the purchase of any item in the Moody Publishers catalog. That's just one of the benefits you'll have as a Bold Partner. So check out all the benefits, including getting a copy of Mark's book, Unstuck. It's all available when you become a partner. boldstepsradio.org. Thank you, Mark. Let's get back into the message now today, though. The final half of this lesson, Growing Beyond the Basics.
Some of you say, well, you know what? I want to begin to change my attitude, but I've had this temper all my life, and it flares up, and I can't control it, and I've tried to count to 10, and I've tried all this methodology, and I blow up, and I hurt everybody around me, and I've tried and tried to change it, and I can't. And you know what? You cannot. Without the touch of God. And that's exactly what Christianity is. It's you admitting your inability to change yourself and yielding to the supernatural lordship of Jesus Christ and saying, I can't, but I know that you in me, I can. By your power, God. So come, power of God. Come upon me, supernatural power of God. For God hath not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God can do things in your life that you could never do on your own. God is stronger than you, more powerful than you. Some of you need to stop trying and you need to start yielding to God and saying, God, I need your supernatural. I admit that I can't, and that's why I need your supernatural power to do what I cannot in me do. And power for what? Power for endurance and patience. Endurance has to do with circumstances. Patience has to do with attitudes towards people. You need endurance and patience. They all require long suffering. Let me tell you, you want to be mature? Some people say, I want to really want to grow in my walk with God. Okay, you want to be mature? Then expect that you're going to go through some difficult times. Well, you just want maturity handed to you? Oh, pastor, I really want to become mature. Okay, all right. Then you come to me and say, I don't know why I'm going through this trial. Well, you prayed for maturity. You don't become mature without a trial. You become mature with a trial. It's trials that mature you. It's the testing of your faith that matures you. It's a difficult circumstance where you don't lose hope that matures you. It's where your faith is being stretched that matures you. And you don't mature without endurance and patience. James chapter 1 tells us, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance produces maturity that you don't repent of, maturity that causes you to change. You have to go through trials, and here's the thing. Some of us go through trials. You say, well, I've been through a lot of trials in life, but some of us go through trials and we never mature. Just because you've been through a lot of trials doesn't mean you're mature. You say, well, I got 150 trials. Yeah, okay, no, I know. It's not the trial. It's how you went through the trial that matures you. And here's the worst thing that could happen to your maturity is as soon as you go through the trial, you take the easy way out of the trial. You will never mature that way. It's like preparing for a marathon. Someone says, how long have you been training for the marathon? Oh, 9 months. Tell me about your training. Well, I start running, I get a half a mile into it, and I stop. And then the next day I start running, I get a half a mile into it, I'm tired, I stop. So how far have you run ever? Just a half a mile? Let me tell you, you've been training for 9 months, but you're not ready for a marathon because you keep quitting. That doesn't develop endurance. Endurance is when it's hard, I keep doing what I know is right to do, regardless of how hard it is. I show up at my job. I show up at my job, and it's tough, and there's a critical spirit there. And I show up and say, I'm not going to be sucked into this critical spirit. And I'm going to show up on Monday, and keep my joy, and keep my right attitude. And I'm going to do it on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and on Friday. And I'm going to thank God that when Friday comes that I don't have to go there on Saturday. But you know what? I'm going to keep doing what's right, regardless of how hard it is. That's endurance. That's perseverance. That's patience towards people. That creates maturity in my life, because I don't do what feels easiest. I do what's right in my life, regardless of how hard it is. That is maturity. Immaturity is when someone wakes up, it's like your little kid. He wakes up and says, I don't want to go to school today. You say, you got to go to school. I don't feel like it. Got to go anyways. We teach our kids maturity, but when it comes to our spiritual life, oftentimes we miss the mark because we're spiritually immature. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to ask for supernatural power to keep loving the person that's hard to love, to keep doing the thing that's hard to do, even though it's right to do. I want you to ask for that. And lastly, the Apostle Paul ends with this, and I close with this. He says, lastly, and some of you are saying, okay, I think I can do that, but I'm going to show up to my job, and I'm just going to grit my teeth, and I'm going to show up, and there's a bad environment, and there's critical people, and I'm just going to show up like this, enduring it. People say, what's wrong with them? Are they constipated? No, they're just a Christian. They're just a Christian. I run into Christians like that. It seems like they're a Christian, but they drink lemon juice in the morning. How you doing? I say, how you doing? Just bearing my cross. Well, you're not very attractive that way. You're not convincing people to come to Jesus. How you just trying to survive. Oh, help me, Jesus. Wait a second. Here's what the Apostle Paul says next. Enduring and patient, but listen, with joyful thanksgiving. endure it, but with an attitude of joyful thanksgiving unto God. Why? You say, well, Pastor, what do I have to be thankful for? My husband has a critical attitude. My job is really tough and they're negative there. My finances are low and my back hurts. What do I have to be thankful for? Well, you want something to be thankful for? Listen. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. You have an inheritance with the saints of God that is given to you through Christ Jesus, which is all the riches of glory. For he has rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Listen, you have something to be thankful for, because what God has done from your past, he's washed you of your sins of the past. He's given you a name. He's written it in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's given you a destiny. He's sealed you with the Holy Spirit. He said that you are his child. He's given you all the riches available through the riches and glory to your life today. Hey, I don't care if your circumstances are nasty. God is still on the throne. God is still in control. You have something to praise God for in the middle of the valley. You praise God for your past. You praise God for your future. You praise God for what he's doing. You have something to be grateful for, because you have been redeemed, saved, cleansed. You have a new destiny. That's why Paul in prison could be worshiping. That's why when your circumstances are bad, God is still on the throne. And you still have an inheritance. And you still have all the riches of glory. And you're washed and cleansed and sealed and made new. And God is with you. The Holy Spirit is upon you. And so your circumstances don't have to change for your attitude to change. I'm talking about maturity. I'm talking about making Jesus the center of our life and walking in victory.
Some of you have listened to this message out of Colossians, putting first things first, and you realize I have swerved from my priorities, and God has not been the center, and I've allowed other things to take the place, and my priorities are off. They're off, and you're experiencing some of the effects of it in your life. And so I want to pray with you right now, that at this moment, right now, wherever you're at, that you would stop for a moment and that you would recenter your priorities on God. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for that person that's just been awakened by this message. And they realize, God, how did this happen to me? How did I get so off course? I pray for a spirit of repentance, a deep sorrow over the strain that's happened, and a strong urgency to get back on track. So I pray, Holy Spirit, even now, that you would come with convicting power, with encouraging power, with redirecting power, so that these individuals that are hearing me right now and are convicted by your Spirit may get back on track with their life in God. So, Father, we pray that you would recenter us on your lordship. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. You're listening to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Job, the end of a message today titled Growing Beyond the Basics. If you missed any of this program, remember you can always catch up on your own time by heading over to our website at boldstepsradio.org. While you're there, why don't you take a look at this month's special Bold Steps gift. It's a resource that goes along with today's theme of growing beyond the basics, taking a special look at how we approach marriage. Now, every marriage is bound to have its own ups and downs. After all, no one is perfect. But even through the tough times, we still have an opportunity to grow and deepen our relationships, both with our spouse and with God. In a book called A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage, New York Times bestselling author Dr. Gary Chapman lays out some fundamental steps we can all take to bring growth and the healing hand of God into our marriage. So if you're wanting a practical biblical guide for your own marriage, be sure to request your copy of this Bold Steps gift. We'll be happy to send it to your door when you give a gift of any amount to support this ministry. Just visit us online at boldstepsradio.org or call us at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. And if you'd rather send your donation and request for Dr. Chapman's book in the mail, write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the Bold Steps podcast, wherever you get your podcast from, and take these biblical messages with you wherever you go. I'm Wayne Shepherd inviting you back tomorrow when we'll continue our new series by getting first things first in our theology. Discover the dangers and deceptions of mixed-up Christianity. Thursday on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.